Out to the blogosphere we go from CanadianThinker.com. Here is Freddie P., who joins us each and every Monday. How are you, Frederick?
I'm doing great, Jeffrey.
Good, good, good. Nathan Kordelik, we've gone off on the 17-year-old in the first half hour of the program. He was on the national water polo team, Freddie. He's now been suspended in a tearful apology after he was outed for participating in the Vancouver riots. What do you make of this kid? Is this apology sincere, and has he been punished enough?
Well, listen, my heart goes out to a 17-year-old kid. And on CanadianThinker.com, I wrote a piece last week after the riots, maintaining, the profile of these young punks was of a certain flavor, radicals, anarchists, tattoos. That's the impression we get immediately of these kids, just hanging around downtown looking for trouble. Well, look at the profile of this kid. I mean, his dad's a doctor and, still in high school. Didn't have to come forward because he under the Young Offenders Act, he didn't even have to be identified, but chose to because he's ashamed.
You know what, Freddie? That's a really interesting take there. He's not a kid with a mohawk or a crazy hairdo and piercings all out of his face. This is, if you pointed at a kid, you go, boy, there's an ideal son. Just he's on the national water polo team, probably got good grades in school.
And is this not a great lesson on why we shouldn't generalize or assume, especially when it comes to, incidences of this magnitude? Obviously, anyone's capable of getting caught up in the moment. Is that really an excuse? I don't know. Listen, when I was 17, I wouldn't light a rag soaked in gasoline that was sticking out of a police car gas tank. I mean, there's no excuse for that. That's just horrible. That's dangerous. I mean, people could die in a situation like that. So for one second, we can't lessen the impact of that act. But in the aftermath now, there's such a great lesson in, obviously, anyone's capable, and forgiveness. Like, I'm torn with this, MacArthur, a 17-year-old kid. Yeah, of course I want to forgive him, but really, does he deserve it? This wasn't any, he didn't break a window, at the schoolyard.
Exactly.
He didn't steal a car one night, goofing around with some buddies.
Yeah, Freddie,
this is way beyond that.
Let's just call it what it is. A spoiled rich kid who's on the water polo, national water polo team, who obviously doesn't really care about anybody but himself. His actions prove that. And at 17, you got to know that that's wrong to soak a rag in gasoline and stick it in the gas tank of a police car. And I'm finding it really hard to find any sympathy for this kid because over and above all of what you've mentioned, he did not come forward, although he's trying to appear noble because I didn't have to. I'm protected by the Young Offenders Act. He didn't come forward till he was caught red-handed.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And look at the stupidity. I mean, I wrote about this as well on CanadianThinker.com. At 17, you're well aware of social networking and how every telephone now can take a picture of you doing anything. How stupid are you to get caught up in that situation? I mean, at this age, He should know before anyone else the implications of this thing and the probability of being identified. Like, how stupid are you?
Well, in the days after this happened, we all sat there pointing fingers at the police and how could they allow this to happen.
Well, I have no time for that, but go ahead. Yeah,
neither do I, really. But also, how can we stop this from happening again? And this is why I think young Nathan, who's almost an adult, needs to be punished because this is the only way we're going to curb this sort of behavior by letting people know that are thinking about it, that first of all, you will be outed thanks to social media, and then secondly, we are going to follow that up with stiff or harsh punishments.
And I totally agree with you. Yes, he has to be punished. And no, he should. Great punishment is, listen, this: if you're convicted of what boils down to a domestic terrorist attack, I mean, that's what it is. What right do you have to represent this country in the Olympics? I'm sorry. That's out. You're finished. You're done. And yeah, should he be sent to jail or to some form of incarceration for a few months or a year or whatever it is? Yeah, probably. But again, at 17 years old, I'm willing just to cut a little bit of slack for a dumb kid, maybe I'm wrong that way. And him coming forward, yeah, it was after he was caught red-handed, but it was just, look at David Letterman. I always go back to that when he was caught nailing the staff. He came right out and admitted it, and it ended for him more or less instantly, and then he moved forward. Maybe the same thing with this kid, right? His dad's a doctor. They huddled with a lawyer, and they said, you know, the best thing to do is come out, apologize. I mean,
yeah, this is all strategic.
Take it all on, and maybe we can move forward.
Mm-hmm. But I think we really need to punish him to the full extent of the law. I know he's been publicly humiliated. His family has, and that's fine, but that can't be the punishment.
What would it be then? What would you think would be?
I think it's got to be jail time.
Yeah, no, I disagree. Mm-hmm. I mean, no, I agree. I don't mm-hmm. disagree. I agree wholeheartedly. Yeah, I mean, definitely. When you stick a rag, soaking gasoline in a police car, yeah, you have to pay on some level.
Yep. You got to pay for those actions, be responsible for those actions, and we need to, as a society, again, send a message to others that this is not going to be tolerated. Because as we know, the Canadian justice system is just too lenient, particularly
yes.
on quote-unquote young offenders, that this kid is like days, weeks away from being an adult eyes of the law.
And the way we started here, this conversation, also a great lesson in not stereotyping, because, again, the profile mm-hmm. of this kid is so far from what we all assume it would be in a situation like this.
That's a very interesting point. Here with Freddie P. from CanadianThinker.com. Also this weekend, Freddie, the Liberals huddled up, and they've decided Bob Rae is going to be the interim leader for quite a while, that they're in no rush to find a permanent new leader.
No, it gives Justin Trudeau two more years to be groomed for that job without taking the heat. I think that's exactly what they're going to do. Bob Rae, obviously, he would never have a hope in hell of becoming prime minister of this country. You know, Harper and the gang are in there for at least 4 years. So, hey, they have time on their side. And I think that's what they'll do with Justin Trudeau.
Yeah, Ray's got the ultimate babysitting job, doesn't he, for the next couple of years? He's just got to be the steady hand there and make sure that the whole thing just doesn't go right down the drain.
And what is the hurry? So I think this is a good idea what they're doing. I really do. It gives them time to pick the right leader because God knows they blew it the last time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and why not use that time? But on the other hand, they really got to find the right person, and everybody thinks, yes, Justin Trudeau's the anointed one, that give him some time, that leader, to get into place and become familiar to Canadians. And the longer they put that off, I'm not saying they got to do it in the next 6 months, but the longer they put that off, the less time they've got to really solidify who the new face of the party is.
Yeah, personally, I'm convinced that's the strategy. I think it's him. He's young. He's a good-looking kid. He's got the history of his dad on his side that, you know, in a lot of corners of this country is still good for whatever reason that might
but
be.
Does he have the charisma of his father? That's
well,
what I
think
wonder.
We're going to find out. That's what the next 2 years are for.
Mm-hmm.
He'll go to charisma school. No, seriously. I mean, I think they'll try and clone him. That's going to be the job over the next 2 years before he's named leader.
Yeah, because, I mean, Trudeau's record, I mean, when you really look at it, is patchy at best. I mean, you can argue that he
brutal.
You know, put this country into record deficits and such, and the constitutional questions that still abound to this day, thanks to what happened back in 1982. But people love Trudeau, and he's named as, you know, one of the top two or three prime ministers of all time because of who he was. And I just wonder if Justin is going to have that same charisma and gravitas that his father did.
Well, we'll find out. You know, it's a lot like Pierre Trudeau in his day was a lot like Obama. He caught the imagination of people. They really didn't look at the substance. They looked at the packaging and went for it. And let's be honest, especially females in Canada,
mm-hmm.
loved Pierre Trudeau for what he sort of represented, what he looked at, what he, you know, as you say, that charisma. He was the cool guy, and the country got caught up in that. Because there wasn't much substance there.
Well, time will tell if there's a second wave of Trudeau mania, but boy, there's a weight on Justin Trudeau's shoulders, without a doubt.
And not only that, McCarthy, you know what? And give it 2 years, and somebody else might emerge and bump him out of place. But again, as far as the strategy goes, I think they're dead on with this one.
All right. Freddie P., you're always dead on. Appreciate your time, buddy. Have a great week. We'll see you again next Monday.
Oh, loving you.
Right back at you. There's blogger Freddie P. from Canadian Think.